This week, many years ago, scientist Jane Goodall ventured into the jungles of Gombe National Park in Tanzania, East Africa, for the first time. She was 26 years old. Goodall had arrived to observe chimpanzees for a scientific study that she thought might last 5 years, or maybe 10 at the most. Jane Goodall, of course, kept returning to Gombe over the decades. She is perhaps the most famous of a number of naturalists who have adopted a specific population of animals for study and preservation. And Ms. Jane Goodall joins us from her office at Gombe National Park in Tanzania. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jane Goodall, how many years has it been?
Well, this is the 50th anniversary of the day I first set foot in Gombe. So, I mean, half a century is pretty amazing.
Well, I have to say, as an observer of humans, as a journalist, that has some biological significance to it altogether, don't you think?
Yes.
Well, describe to me what you would, as a naturalist, view as the greatest set of changes that you've observed in Gombe over that half century.
Well, I suppose the biggest change is that Gombe is now an island of forest surrounded by cultivated fields and people struggling to survive.
Hmm. Well, your retrospective thoughts on 50 years in Gombe dealing with the chimpanzees, it seems to me, is a treasure of the planet in terms of the information you've gleaned and the insights that you've acquired. It occurs to me that aside from the notion that humans becoming 6 billion on this planet is a real problem for all species, it's also the case that you've learned that instability among human populations is one of the principal threats to animal populations.
Well, certainly the increasing numbers of people is a huge threat. Sometimes war can be a threat as refugees who are desperate for food move into an area and kill everything to eat it in order to survive. The biggest danger of all in this part of Africa is poverty, because when you're very poor, you're going to cut down the last trees to try to grow some food, even though you know you're creating a desert-like land.
So desperation is an environmental hazard. I mean, that's something I wouldn't necessarily have thought. My assumption would have been, we'll just get fewer people on the planet, but it's much more complicated than that. You write that the survival of chimpanzees requires a dramatic change to how we, humans, think about the natural world. Are humans capable of another dramatic change like that?
Well, I certainly believe that young people are, and that's why I'm devoting so much of my time these days to developing our youth program, Roots and Shoots. It's now in 121 countries around the world. It began in Tanzania, and it's about young people of all ages choosing projects to make the world better for animals, for people, and for the environment.
Are projects the way forward? I mean, you certainly have made a career and a reputation on adopting a particular population of animals, but as we see with this oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico, is it more complicated than simply associating with one particular species?
It certainly is. I mean, you know, this is why I'm no longer myself at Gombe, except very briefly, twice a year, because, you know, first of all, fighting to save the chimpanzees of Gombe and their dwindling forest, then realizing that chimpanzees across Africa are vanishing and the great forests are disappearing and the loggers are coming in. And, you know, then learning more and more about poverty and civil unrest and disease, realizing how much of this is really a result of the old colonialism and the modern multinational corporations still coming into Africa, and learning more about, you know, pollution and climate change and shrinking of water and all the ills that come with these things. So it's no longer possible to just think about saving one group of animals, because to save them, really, you couldn't unless you start thinking in broader terms.
Well, it's certainly demoralizing if you get stuck on the complexities of it all. I wonder if you'd have something to say to a young girl in your situation, say in her early 20s, who might be convinced to spend a half century investing her life in the environment. What would you tell that young woman?
What I always tell young people is that, first of all, don't embark on anything unless you're really passionate about it. Don't go down the mistaken route of choosing a career that is going to make lots of money, because money alone is not going to make anybody happy. So basically, I would give that young woman the advice my mother gave me. If you really want something and you work hard and you never give up, you find a way. There are so many young people who say, well, you've seen it all. There's nothing left to learn about chimpanzees. And even that is not true. Even at Gombe, we're learning new things. And when it comes to the rest of the amazing animal kingdom, there is so much we don't know, so very much. So there is huge opportunity for young people today.
Before we go, Jane Goodall, are you a rich woman?
Am I a rich woman? I wish I was, because there's so much I would like to do with money. But if you don't count money, then I'm very rich. I'm rich in experience. I've had amazing opportunities. I've been able to live with and learn from these closest beings to us. As I travel the world, I've met extraordinary, dedicated, and inspirational people, and I'm continually inspired and encouraged by the passion, dedication, energy, and sometimes courage of young people once they understand the problems and they are encouraged to actually roll up their sleeves and take action. They're changing the world as we speak.
Well, Jane Goodall, I'm not so young, but I'm definitely inspired by you. Jane Goodall, primatologist, founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, a half century at Gombe studying the chimpanzees in East Africa. Thanks so much for being with us, Jane.
Well, thank you very much as well.